You're listening to WCNO, Palm City. We love you, Jesus. Oh,
how we want to be near you. Welcome. Thank you for joining us for Grace Alive, a broadcast ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie, Florida. The sermon you'll hear today was recorded during one of our Sunday morning services. If this message blesses you, we want to know. Text us at 772-205-6552 and we will reach out to you with a text or phone call. When we talk about worship, we think of songs and choruses. We think of a worship service. We think of praising God. But what we mean is that we sing. What if praise and worship is obedience even in tough times? What if it is thanksgiving even when we are in pain? What if worship is giving our all even when we lack? Join us now for this message from our pastor of student ministries, Mitchell McGar.
Good morning, church. So good to be here on this Lord's Day service. And today we're going to talk about, of all things, smells. Smells. Some of us smell good. Some of us not so good. Just ask your spouse. They'll probably tell you the truth. So no matter what scent there is, we're going to smell. And I'm not talking about your favorite cologne or your favorite deodorant. Mine's is Old Spice Pure Sport, even though you don't need to know that at all. But we're all going to smell. And what I'm talking about today is there's an aroma of worship. There's an aroma of praise. There's an aroma of Christ. And I'm not talking about the smells like the stench of a dirty diaper at 5 a.m. Not that I know anything about that now. Melody was a good girl. Actually, she slept through the night last night. So proud of you, babe. So today will actually be about the aroma of our worship, the aroma of our testimony, the aroma of our prayers, and also our repentance. And before we dip our toes in the water of some biblical exhortation and encouragement, for you science geeks, I have something for you. I want to start off by sharing something I found in researching the connection between smell and memories. You're like, what are you talking about, Pastor Mitchell? I promise it'll make sense. It's going to set the tone for my sermon today because ultimately we want to be a sweet aroma, a sweet fragrance rising up to the throne room of God. Amen. So I took the liberty of putting it up on the screens so I don't mix it up. If I mispronounce a word, please forgive me. I doomed myself with some of these words, but I'm going to plow through it. All right. So we got a nice little fancy picture here. So the strong connection between smell and memory arises from the unique way that the olfactory system is wired in the brain. The olfactory bulb, where smell information is first processed, has direct connections to the amygdala, responsible for emotional processing, and the hippocampus, responsible for memory formation. The direct pathway bypasses the thalamus, the brain sensory relay station, which other senses like sight and touch must go through. This unique route allows smell information to rapidly reach the limbic system, where emotions and memories are processed, making smells powerful triggers for retrieving past experiences. You see, we experience this in so many ways, don't we? Maybe for a lot of you today, the smell of coffee woke you up. That dark, robust, dark roast coffee, maybe. Or maybe a bunch of creamer and a little bit of coffee, whatever you prefer. The smell of a specific cologne or perfume can ignite the memory of a loved one. Whether positive or negative, an aroma can stir up strong emotions. Statistics say that 75% of the emotions we generate on a daily basis are affected by smell. Right? You sit next to a stranger at the airport and they smell and you just politely go 3 seats down. Not that I've ever done that, of course, but maybe people have done that because of me. But this is a very well-known and even used to help boost sales. There is a whole division actually meant for scent marketing. So if you're looking for a job today and you smell good, scent marketers are looking for you, all right? Everywhere. How many of us have seen on a TV show where someone's selling a house and they open the oven to reveal a tray of freshly baked cookies? even though it's just plastic, but it looks really good on the television. And they did so to make the home smell more inviting and enticing. We all have that favorite candle that their wives buy in bulk. My wife, Dallas, loves the strawberry pound cake scent. And if it's a good candle, the scent lingers long after being extinguished. Seriously, I see how elated people get when they light their favorite candle and enjoy the aroma that surrounds them. Here's the point. So it occurred to me that this must be how God feels when we offer up our aromas to him. Our aroma of prayer. Our aroma of worship in the storm. Our aroma of repentance. God, I don't want to do life my way anymore. I want to do my life your way. Because it's your life. And it's your will. And it's your name. And it's your fame. And I was made by you and through you and for you. And I want to leverage my life for God and for God alone. That's a sweet aroma. So are our aromas acceptable and pleasing? I'm saying our. If this is your first sermon with me, you have to know that when I preach, and it's with any pastor up here, this is what God's been showing me. And you just get to happen to overhear what God's been showing me. Not pinpointing any of you. This is what God's been showing me. Mitchell McGar, is your aroma pleasing to me? Is your worship pleasing to me? Are you leveraging and utilizing every nook and cranny, every facet of your life for me? Because that is God's will for our lives. So here are a few verses that broach and breach the subject of aromas that get an honorable mention before we dig deeper. Here's a couple. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, I love this. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. You want to be a fragrance? Love people. Care for people. Honor people. Serve people. Be a door holder in the house of God for them. As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, check this, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So your aroma, your fragrance is gonna be an offering. It's gonna be a sacrifice. It's gonna be dying to self and living for him. That God would get all the glory and all the honor in your life. Because I don't know about you, it's very exhausting when I try to live for me. It sounds good in the moment, right? The flesh, and it's riled up and it's all about me, me, me and what I want. But the more you realize it's all about him, it's all about the others around you, and you watch God glorified in and through your life. He is well pleased with that. Nobody likes a self-centered person. We're not that impressed. Even the most impressive person in here isn't that impressive. And then Psalm 141, verse 2. Let my prayer, I love this, let my prayer be counted as incense before you, in the lifting up of my hands at the evening sacrifice. So you want to be a sweet incense? May prayer rise up in the darkest hour. May praise and prayers rise up in the bleakest of circumstances. Pastor, I know, but easier said than done. I know that. I know that it is only possible through the infilling, empowering, enabling work of God that sets you ablaze for his glory and his eternal purposes. I know that. Only the Spirit of the living God can do that. Only the Spirit of the living God can give you a hunger and a desire and a passion for him and for others, for the eternal good of others. And then Romans 12, 1 and 2. I know this is a favorite of a lot of people in here. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers. This is the Apostle Paul writing this. By the mercies of God, here's an aroma. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So here's what we see. Worship is more than just a song. It's more than just music. It's very important. I name my daughter Melody, so I do think songs are important, but it's not all-encompassing of what worship is. Our lives ought to be living sacrifices to God, living in a sense that it is a continual, daily prioritizing God over lesser things. And this aroma of worship that God loves is contentment and satisfaction in Him, thereby finding our sole source of strength and identity in Him. I can guarantee that some in this room are experiencing hardships in some way, shape, or form. Maybe you're asking, how can I offer up worship when my life seems so chaotic and broken? It's only possible when you know that your life is all about Him. And it's all about serving Him. And that every moment of every day is not incidental, it's not accidental, it's not coincidental. It's all by Him and for Him. And every opportunity, every treasure, every dollar in our pocket, everything that we are, everything that makes us us, is for Him. So is this life supposed to be a cakewalk? Emphatically no. Despite what a lot of people may have told you in the past. Is Christianity a cakewalk? No. This life is hard. This life has hardship. This life has trials and tribulations. But how do we get to the end of ourselves and get to the end for Him? Will there be roadblocks in this life? Without a shadow of a doubt, yes. But when you and I decide to still praise God in the storm, that is worship that is truly pleasing unto Him. So some of you in this room have lives ridden with hardship and anguish. I know a lot of stories in this room, because a lot of you have let me in, and I appreciate that. And trials and tribulations run the gamut. I know in this room there are grieving widows. Some of you have wayward children that haven't spoken to you in years. Scary health diagnosis, bleak financial circumstances. And here's what I know. Many of you are still striving to praise God in the midst of the storm. That is an aroma pleasing to Him. You're not quitting, you're not throwing in the towel, you're pushing forward, you're pushing on. The opposition and the headwind of this world is coming against you, and you are still praising God in the storm. Because there's a headwind, isn't there? There's a headwind to this world. There's opposition of the principalities in the spiritual realm. And when you push back against the darkness by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit for the glory of God, for the eternal good of others, that is indeed an aroma and fragrance of worship that God receives with complete and utter gladness. You've heard it said many times from exactly where I'm standing. Pastor Sam, how many times has he come up here? We must lift our gaze off our circumstances and onto our Savior. And I love that, because when you and I decide to still praise God in the storm, that is an aroma that He delights in. That is an aroma He is well pleased with. Does He delight in your hardship? You need to hear this. Does He delight in your hardship? No, by no means. But when God refines you, it produces character, which then produces steadfastness. You're gonna finish your race. And ultimately and inevitably, it produces a life surrendered to Christ. He delights in the faithful hearts of those who put their trust in Him. He delights in the refining of your faith that empowers you to be a mighty warrior for God's glory and for the eternal good of others. He knows trouble will come. That's our world. It's pretty cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, isn't it? Unless you've been living under a rock, there's turmoil everywhere, worldwide. But I want you to know this and see this. Pastor Sam's been preaching on this. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So the church is growing. The army is flourishing globally, worldwide. We just don't hear about it, do we? Our media doesn't cover the churches that are burgeoning in China and India and North Korea, and how Christ is building His church everywhere around the world, every remote jungle, every remote tribe. Jesus is awakening a generation, right? Have you been reading any of those reports? College campuses surrendering their lives to Jesus, revival coming to middle and high schools through First Priority Bible clubs. God is doing a supernatural work. He's at work, and that is a sweet aroma of praise to God. Have you ever taken a moment to think about the beautiful aroma of Christ that we can share with the world? We are like a fragrance, each of us carrying a unique scent. Different pasts, different stories, different passions, different personality traits, but it's all to be leveraged for him and his renown, his fame. And I'm just imagining someone who shines with the light of Jesus to know that their life is not theirs, that their life and my life and our lives were bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And when that is true of you, and that is your reality, when you are a true blue follower of Christ, you can represent and reflect him in every action, every reaction, and every interaction with others. And through our interactions with others, our kind and thoughtful words, our smiles or lack thereof, our body language, we release a scent, and Lord willing, it's a delightful scent, that in God's eyes is far more appealing than that nostalgic, robust coffee smell that fills a room that we talked about. A well-scented candle that you can smell from the moment you step foot in mom's house, or that strong, sweet aroma of freshly baked cookies made by grandma. So, I have something that I want to share here. As Christians, the fragrance we release is the fragrance of the saving message of Jesus Christ, who took on our sins on the cross, triumphed over death, sin, and the grave, bringing hope and joy to all who believe. Let's embrace this calling and share that sweet aroma with everyone we encounter. And then I love this scripture. God really brought this to the forefront of my mind for this topic today. 2 Corinthians 2:14 through 17. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in, I love the phrasing, triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Remember, every tribe, every jungle. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death, to the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not, like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. So I'm gonna give you a little historical backdrop for you history buffs here, and I think it'll make a lot more sense what Paul is saying here as the Apostle Paul is penning these words. The Apostle Paul was passionately sharing with the Corinthians about the exciting developments in his ministry, going from church to church to church. And God is at work, and God is building his church, and he's using the Apostle Paul and the other brothers and sisters in a mighty way for the kingdom of God to flourish and to grow unabated and undeterred. And despite the challenges and letdowns, right? Shipwrecked, abandoned, Paul went through some stuff, right? Thorn in the side. Everyone debates what that is. Who knows? But thorn in the side. And Paul is still exhilarated by how God is using him. He knows that in his hardship, it is still a sweet aroma of praise to God because he's living on mission. He is mobilized. He's equipped to leverage his life for what matters most. And that's the name and the fame and the renown and the glory of God. So he's spreading the gospel. Paul can't help but celebrate God's goodness with a heart full of gratitude and joy. And he drew a thrilling comparison, if you will, between his ministry of evangelism and the grand triumphal military parades that were all too common in the Roman world at that time. I have as good of a rendering as I can find on the back wall over here. Remember, the Roman Empire appeared to be impenetrable at this time, right? Any student of history knows this. They reigned and ruled over the known world for roughly 1,500 years. Is Rome ever going to be overthrown? Is Rome ever going to come crumbling down? Is Rome ever going to come crashing down? That's what the world around him was wondering and thinking. Paul's metaphor he used here was sure to resonate with his audience, portraying himself and his fellow workers as triumphant soldiers in a fabulous victory procession. Picture this. During Roman military parades, this actually happened, war captives would be paraded through the streets while beautiful garlands of flowers adorned the scene and sweet incense waded into the air, dedicated to the Roman gods that they had created for themselves. This is the world Paul's in. This is what Paul's seeing. And he's saying, that's an aroma of death. People are being exposed. People are being exploited for evil gain. And he's saying, actually, you can do the opposite. We're commanded to do the opposite. We're commanded, instead of being a fragrance of death, to be a fragrance of life unto him. So this delightful fragrance, in quotes, for you on that are going to be listening on radio later, that was happening, filled the atmosphere to the brim, creating a sense of exhilaration for both the spectators and those in the parade, celebrating death. And at the grand conclusion of these celebrations, many of the captives faced dire fates. You can use your imagination. While the aromas were invigorating and life-affirming for the victors, they carried a haunting sense of defeat for those who had been captured. And in Paul's vibrant analogy here that he's using, he boldly divides humanity into two distinct groups: those embarking on the path to salvation and those headed toward destruction. The enchanting aroma spread by the ministry of Paul symbolizes the knowledge of God as the ultimate victor. God has won the war. We don't fight for victory, we fight from victory, because he's already accomplished it all for us.
We pause to welcome those just joining us. You're listening to Grace Alive, a broadcast ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Today, our pastor of student ministries is speaking about the aroma of worship. The picture of aroma in worship is everywhere in Scripture. Oils poured on the sacrifices in the Old Testament. Paul saying that our lives will be an aroma or fragrance to those around us. How we live honors God and shows others his glory. If you have questions about the message, text us at 772-205-6552, and we will reach out to you with a text or phone call. You can also send us a message through our website at graceemmanuel.com. Use the Contact Us tab at the top of the page to send us comments, questions, or prayer requests. Now, let's return and listen to the rest of this message from our pastor of student ministries, Mitchell McGar.
Our God is ruling. Our God is reigning. Even now, as we sit here, over everybody, every square inch that covers this world, Christ has claimed mine. And he's building his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So Christians proclaiming the gospel know, we know that we are eternally victorious members of God's army, led valiantly by Jesus Christ himself. Isn't that encouraging? We don't go in our own strength. We go as co-laborers, co-heirs, co-reigning with Christ. That's where we go. We go with him. And he goes with us. And all things are possible when he is on the move. So the question is, are we joining him in his story? That's history, right? History, you boil it down. His story, I love that. It's all about him. So I love, and maybe this will be an encouragement to you today, the disposition of my heart, Lord willing, and I strive for this. I'm not perfect at this. I miss some days. But I want to start every day with, yes, Lord. Yes. I want to hear from you today. Here I am, send me today. I'm not mine today, I'm yours today. And I want to live for you. Every person that I meet, every interaction that I have, everything that I do, every thought that I have, I want it to be pleasing to you, God. That's a sweet aroma. In the secret place, in the quiet place, are we praising God? Are we praising God in the storm? Because you see, believers, we are to radiate like a captivating fragrance during these victory processions. Both the triumphant and the defeated experience this aroma, but it evokes very different feelings for each group. For the victorious army and their allies, the scent signifies the elation of triumph. We did it! In stark contrast, for the captives, the aroma became a bitter reminder of defeat, bondage, and ultimately death. What a powerful image. So the question, going back to this is, you have to hear this. When Paul is writing, that's what's happening all around him. And he's saying, what aroma do you want to give off? An aroma that's pleasing, a sweet fragrance, being imitators of God, a sweet fragrance of sacrifice? Or this aroma of death occurring at the center of Rome in these godless pagan parades, a stench of death? What aroma do you want to give off? A fragrance of life or a fragrance of death? And my answer is I want to give off the fragrance of life, amen? So, what aroma do we want to present to God as our offering? As believers in this room, our integrity and our actions ought to be a reflection of the gospel's transformative power. Our witness can either be a life-giving aroma or a stench that leads to death. And you see, that's my holy responsibility today, to show you Jesus and for us to love him so much, we're willing to live for him alone. Yes, to die for him too. Paul says in Philippians 1, to live is Christ and to die is gain. But not just dying for him, will we live for him? Moment by moment, day by day, second by second, are we living our lives for him? Are we looking upward and going, God, what's your will for my life today? So, I want to show you Jesus. I want to love him more than I love anything else. My prayer is that we would die to the flesh and abide by the Spirit on the daily. And when we do so, sinful cravings and trivial desires begin to fade away. Here's another thing God showed me this week. Self-exaltation, self-promotion is a poison to God-honoring living. If we want to be a sweet aroma pleasing to Christ, we must get out of the way so that Christ can get in the way. We must decrease and he must increase. This life is not about me. It's not even about we. It's all about how we leverage our lives for thee. It's all by him, for him, and through him. So if self-exaltation isn't the answer, what is? Humility. It's a sweet aroma to the Lord. May we decrease, may he increase. It shows our heart's posture and provides an inviting door for us to witness to others. So are we spreading the fragrance of knowledge of him everywhere we go? And then I love this passage in Revelation 5:8. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, that's Jesus, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And we have a picture, I believe, on the back too. Revelation 8:1-4 actually talks about the same thing, that when the saints of God are praying, it's a sweet aroma to God. So don't underestimate your prayer life. Don't underestimate what God desires to do in and through you. So do we catch that? When the saints of God pray, and that would be anybody that bears the name of Christ, it is an aroma, it is an incense of worship to our God. And when we pray, we wield and yield our most powerful weapon that is pleasing to God. In the darkest and bleakest seasons, when we still praise God with our mouths and our actions, that fragrance and aroma is ascended heavenward, even now. And not only is God well pleased, but also the ripple effects of those around you will be felt and seen. Let's never underestimate the power of a transformed, repentant, born-again life. Again, God delights in the prayers of his people. It is our direct line to the King above all kings and the Lord above all lords. And it doesn't have to be lengthy, elegant prayers full of long words and great intellectual prowess. Prayer can sometimes be one word. It's been for me before. I've been in situations where all I could muster to say is, help. I need you. Fill me today. I need you today. And it's amazing when the brokenhearted call on heaven, and then you watch God answer in a supernatural, powerful way, and all of a sudden the day rolls on and you're like, where did all that power and presence come from? It's the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's guiding you and filling you and empowering you. Because you see, prayer is not just a defense mechanism. It's actually an offensive weapon as we call on Almighty God. And through prayer, we can be healed, made whole. We have peace that passes all understanding. So I have encouragement and exhortation in the form of a question today. Are we praying? It's the most important thing we do as a believer, but it's the easiest thing to forget if we aren't careful. There's an old saying that goes something like this. If we knew what happened when we prayed, we'd never stop praying. And I don't mean literally, it's again impossible to pray 24/7, but the urgency of praying, calling on Him, you will do on a daily, continual, moment-by-moment basis if you knew what prayer was actually accomplishing. Because prayer, when you call on God, it is a pleasing aroma of worship to our God. And when we have trouble, the Bible makes it clear that we are not alone. Those found in Christ have the Holy Spirit residing and compelling us to do good works that God set forth before the foundation of the world. And one of the great functions of the Holy Spirit that I relish greatly is found in Romans. I keep going back to Romans because if you may or may not know this about me, Romans is my favorite book of the Bible and it fits with the sermon today. So Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. You're like, Pastor, pray, but I don't know how to pray. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Sometimes we leave communication to our Heavenly Father as our last resort. I think sometimes simple is best. We teach the kiddos, we just dismiss kids to Disciple Town, the acronym PRAY, P-R-A-Y. And it goes like this, and we're gonna have it on the back screen, I believe. Praise, repent, ask, yield. We see this modeled in the Lord's Prayer, which Pastor Kevin so eloquently preached on last week. Don't get me wrong. You don't have to follow this exact model every single time. There's no power in the model. The power's in Christ, but it's a helpful tool. It just serves as a good reminder to make sure we stop and acknowledge the Lord and what he has done for us. So I want us to return back to the end of that scripture that we just read. The Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Our God knows that we are frail. Our God knows that we are but dust. He knows that we are prone to wander. So he continually draws us back to himself because he's perfect. He's boundless. He has boundless glory, matchless power. And all of our lives are and were created and mandated through and for him. But I want you to hear this today. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I know condemnation is all over this place. Not personally, but I know how Satan works. And he prowls around like a lion seeking whom he can devour. And you feel condemned today. You feel that God can't love you today. And I want you to know there is therefore now no condemnation. There's rather salvation today, sanctification today, glorification today. That's what he promises. You'd be set free from the bondage of sin and death, that you would live a life sanctified and pleasing unto God. And then ultimately, we are all glorified saints. We just saw that in what, Revelation 5 and 8? The prayers of the saints going to the Lamb for all of eternity. Glorification. They all go together. So you see, we don't emphasize prayer as a church by inviting everyone to War Room prayer on Tuesday nights at 6:30 just because we like to hear ourselves talk. If that was the case, colossal waste of time. We actually do it because we know prayer is powerful. That's why it's called war room prayer. We lay out our collective hearts, surrender to God alone, and we utilize God's word as our weapon, because our weapons are not carnal, they're spiritual. They're from heaven. And we use the sword of the Spirit as our foundation to stay on the attack against the enemy's lies, schemes, and effects. And can you imagine? I was thinking about this Tuesday, thinking about the sermon, and as we were praying on Tuesday night, how sweet of an aroma that prayer is to God. The saints of God joined together, collectively praying in community with one another. It's more of a fragrance pleasing to God than we could ever possibly imagine. Leviticus 1:9 speaks of a pleasing aroma to God through a burnt offering. In the old covenant, that was the proper form of worship. That's how it was before Christ. And this was to atone for the sins of the people before Jesus made the ultimate atonement. And before Jesus, believers would have to go through many rituals and steps to receive our forgiveness. And I'm grateful that through Christ, that is no longer necessary. Because of Adam and Eve, we all enter into a sin-cursed, sin-soaked, broken world. And sin separates us from our Heavenly Father. But He desires to have a relationship with us. He lived the perfect life we could never live, and He died the gruesome death we should have all died. That's the gospel. He lived for us. He died for us. He took our place for us. So now we can have a right standing relationship with Him and Him alone. But I love that. He willingly died for us. Willingly. He lays down His life of His own accord. He defeated death and the grave, taking back the keys of the kingdom, and He went to prepare a place for us. He even left a deposit, so we know that He's coming back, the Holy Spirit. He did all of this for us, and all He asks is for our faith and our repentance. He says, anyone who believes in Me should have eternal life, available to all at any moment. So today, is that your day? Will you lift up an aroma of repentance to the Lord? So we've covered an aroma of praise. How to praise God in the storm. The aroma of fellowship with others. We are going together in this great triumphal procession. We have the aroma of prayer, and we have the aroma of repentance. And I believe it's the sweetest aroma that we can offer God. Great theologian and founder of the Protestant Reformation, Martin Luther, put it this way. The Christian life is one of repentance. The Greek word for repentance is metaneo. It literally means to change one's life. Our lives have been so transformed by Christ that we actually change our lives to fit God's standard. And we don't do it begrudgingly, like, I guess God's word says I have to do it. We joyfully do what God's called us to do. And when joyful obedience rises up to His throne room, He's well pleased. And we all know that this is only possible through the supernatural empowerment of the Holy Spirit that guides us, compels us, indwells us, and then empowers us to joyfully obey Christ as the sweetest aroma of worship of all. We were once bound, church. Now we are free. We once used to be shackled and enslaved to our sin. Now we have freedom like we've never known before. We no longer are bound to the approval of man. Rather, we are totally and completely consumed with Christ and His perfect will for our lives. We have an audience of one. I don't know about you, but I'm prone to forget that sometimes. This world's moving at a rapid pace, right? How is it June, by the way? June 1st, how did that happen? So life is but a vapor, the Bible says. The Bible says, teach me to number my days so that I may gain a heart of wisdom. So my prayer is that we know how short life is, that we would, because of that, therefore, we would be imitators of God. We would offer a sweet fragrance unto Him. We would put all of our time and all of our energy and all of our effort into glorifying God and making Him known to those around us as we love and serve and disciple in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's a pleasing aroma of worship to our God when we are faithful to the One who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. As one of our previous elders, Jim McKeegan, used to famously say, I miss that man. We are all training for reigning. We are all training for reigning. We are co-laborers with Christ. We are co-reigning with Christ. And that doesn't just happen at the consummation of all things. It does, but it happens now. We're co-reigning with Christ now. We're co-laborers on mission with Christ now. We are co-heirs with Christ now. And when we live our lives hitched to him, it's a sweet, pleasing aroma to him. When we awaken to his glory and his goodness, we avail ourselves to his power and his presence, moment by moment, day by day. So in closing, an aroma of worship pleasing and fit for our King of Kings and Lord of all lords is encompassed and summarized in this: spiritual eyes opened, spiritual ears attuned to the Spirit of the living God, hearts softened to the truth, the broken being healed, being made whole, the wayward coming back home, the bound and the shackled in sin come alive and find freedom in Christ like never before. That's the sweet aroma of praise in worship that is befitting and glorifying to our great and matchless God. When we stop revolving our lives around us, and rather we put Jesus at the center of it all, revolving every thought we have and decision we make around his grand eternal purposes, when we capture and hold every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, when everything's about his eternal purposes, we lay our lives down for his kingdom come. Our lives are now hitched to him. And now we are commissioned and mobilized and on mission to herald the good news of Christ everywhere we go. And what does 2 Corinthians say? Spreading the fragrance of Christ to all we come into contact with. Let's not focus on just the mere obstacles and challenges in front of us. And I'm not minimizing them, by the way. I know there's challenges. I know there's hardship. There's probably things that no one else knows about, but you do, you and God do. I'm not minimizing your hardship at all. We all have those obstacles, those giants in our way. But the question is, where are we gonna put our faith in, our trust in? Like Pastor Robbie said, whom else are we gonna turn to? But the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He is the one that knows all things. So, if you wanna transform your discouragement into joy, may we shift our gaze at this. We are being guided by the sovereign God who is involved in every detail of our lives and service. So just a thought right here of being led by the ultimate commander in chief. That's good terminology, I think. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's our great commander in chief. To gladly submit under his guidance, his service should fill our heart with radiating joy. Remember that earlier 2 Corinthians passage. It was kind of the forefront of what we were talking about today. Paul reminds us to give thanks for another incredible gift, the assurance of victory through Christ, victory in Jesus, amen? And not only are we privileged to walk alongside Jesus Christ under his sovereign leadership, but we are also promised victory with him. As it says in verse 14, God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ. He doesn't just lead us. He leads us into victory. We are part of his triumphal celebration, procession. And in this celebration, in this parade, there is no stench of death. And this is a sweet fragrance to God himself. When we who are part of God's kingdom leverage and utilize every nook and cranny of our lives for him, we never have to fear, because we march behind our victorious risen King in his eternal parade. Not as captives, but as co-conquerors, sharing in the triumph over sin, death, and hell. And my prayer is that we would keep our eyes on these truths. We would let them uplift our spirits, that our lives would be a great, sweet fragrance unto him. Let's honor God with how we live our lives, with how we interact and witness to others, with our prayer and daily communion with him, and with our humble repentance. The Bible says, choose this day whom you will serve. I want to submit this to you today. Only one name is worthy of our praise. Only one name is worthy of our lives. Only one name has built the church, the global church, that he said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Rome, smithereens. Church of Christ, marching unabated. Which kingdom do we belong to? Who are we serving? So church, let's choose this day to lift up an aroma of worship to our great, eternal, matchless God and King. Amen? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your matchless power and glory. Thank you that we can avail ourselves to you and you alone today. Thank you, God, that we're your servants, that you were your mouthpieces, that even now our prayers are rising up to you, and it's a sweet aroma of praise unto your throne room. So Lord, I pray for my dear friends, they're my friends. I pray for my dear brothers and sisters in this room, their family. We're family in your kingdom, your eternal kingdom. I pray for us, God. I pray that we would have a humble repentance. That'd be our posture before you. That our lives, our praises, our prayers, loving you through the storm would be a sweet aroma to you. That you'd receive it with utter gladness. You'd receive it even now. A sweet fragrance unto you. The prayer of the saints availeth much. You're at work, God. And my prayer and my heart and my life is all about not just me individually, but us collectively at Grace Emmanuel Church, 707 Kitterman Road, smelling with the aroma of Christ, smelling with a sweet fragrance that's pleasing to you, knowing that we are fighting from victory. The battle has already been won. We're your servants. We're your children. We are children of the light. And I pray that we would shine light into this dark world and that we would mobilize everywhere. We would herald your truth and your good news and your character everywhere, that a sweet fragrance would grow individually and collectively. And I pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. The aroma of worship is our hearts and lives tuned to God in fellowship with Him and surrendered to His plan. We invite you to join us for some discussion about the message. With us are Mitchell McGar, pastor of student ministries, Kevin Pierce, pastor of outreach and evangelism. Joining us is Jen Osborne, one of our members.
So as I was preparing to preach on this subject, I always, at the very beginning of preparation, I asked God, what do you want me to say? Not what I want to say, but what do you want communicated to your people? And God has an amazing way of showing me exactly what I need to hear. Because I say all the time here on Sunday mornings, whenever I preach, that, and Pastor Sam and Pastor Kevin and Pastor Robbie reiterate this as well, that when we're preaching, it's an overflow of what God is showing us. So God was showing me, He was convicting me, He was prodding me about this topic of aroma, this aroma of worship, this aroma of Christ, that wherever we go, everybody we interact with is holy ground, and it's all intended for His glory. So in every interaction, am I being a sweet aroma of Christ? Am I displaying the fruit of the Spirit? Am I displaying Christ-centeredness in my affections and my desires and my priorities? So God was compelling me to Himself. And my prayer is that the Spirit of the living God that resides in us as believers would empower us, enable us, usher us, and commission us out as we lay our lives down for His kingdom's sake, that we would become a sweet aroma of Christ everywhere that we go, that nobody that we come into contact with, that everybody that we see and we are around, that they would know, that they would sense that we've been with you, that we've just spent quality time with you. So our lives are now hitched to Him, We are commissioned and mobilized to herald the good news of Christ everywhere we go, spreading the fragrance of Christ to all we come into contact with. So that's why our identity must be rooted in Christ alone, because our identity will determine the durability of our hope. So what's the durability of our hope? What's it found in? Is it found in the person and work and ministry of Christ, or is it founded in anything else, anything that's lesser, even a good thing? But nothing is more important than God and his renown and his fame and his glory. So my prayer is that each one of us would chase him in the comings and the goings, moment by moment, day by day, praying without ceasing, because that's a sweet aroma of Christ.
I was intrigued by what Pastor Mitchell was saying in this sermon, and it really caused me to think about the place of smells and aroma in the scriptures. When we look at the Old Testament worship, the sacrifice is always called a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Often, we see extra things were poured on it to make it sweeter. Did you know that two priests died because they offered incense in a different way than what God had said? There was a specific recipe for the incense that they were to burn. But you know, there was a point where God says, I detest your sacrifices. He began to hate these offerings. Why? The sacrifice didn't change. The incense was the same. The blood was the same. What changed? What changed was the obedient heart of the people was no longer there. They had begun to do it as a ritual rather than for the glory and fame of the Lord, is what Pastor Mitchell said. And what happened then was that the people looking at them, they began to recognize that this God must not be all that great, because his people aren't obeying them with his heart. They're just going through the motions. When Jesus comes, he obeys perfectly. That's the point of his ministry. He obeys perfectly God the Father. And he offers his life as a sweet sacrifice in place of ours. Beloved, as Pastor Mitchell said, we've got to chase the fame and glory of God. Our hearts have to be hearts that are marked by obedience to this King who died in our place, and it has to be his glory and his fame. When our hearts are like that, then everything we do becomes a sweet aroma.
Listening to Pastor Mitchell preach on prayer and how our lives should be a sweet aroma unto God reminded me of several people. First, I think of King Solomon. Having been given what he asked for and then so much more, he found himself realizing that a life without God is futile. He came to understand that relationships apart from God were disappointing. Pursuits without God in the center brought no real satisfaction. Like the prodigal son, Solomon came to understand that the aroma of the world was like a pig pen, and only a relationship with God brought inner fulfillment. I then think of Daniel, who represented a life lived for God exceedingly well. He refused to taint himself with the pleasures the world could offer. He did not allow the surrounding pressures to discourage him or persuade him to take the easy route. Instead, he stood for truth and righteousness. Through the world's perspective, he was in the minority, but he knew being aligned with God really put him in the majority. And thus, his entire life was presented as a sweet aroma unto God. John Quincy Adams said, "You will never know how much it cost my generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make good use of it." Apostle Paul wrote, "For he, that is God, has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins." Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What I glean from this is that real freedom is not found in our own pursuits without God, nor in the pursuits that satisfy the flesh. Instead, real freedom is found in the Word of God and in the life surrendered to God. Real freedom is found on bended knees, which reminds me of King David, who wrote, "Lord, give me your unfailing love, the salvation that you promised me. Then I can answer those who taught me, for I trust in your word. Do not snatch your word of truth from me, for your regulations are my only hope. I will keep on obeying your instructions forever and ever. I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments." Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us freedom. We thank you for the many examples in history that we can turn to see you desire to be intertwined with us. We ask that you continue to lead and direct us onto the path that brings inner fulfillment, so that our lives will be a sweet aroma unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you once again for listening to the program today. Jesus sacrificed his life to make our worship possible. Apart from surrender to him, we cannot have peace with God. If we can help you find this peace, please text us at 772-205-6552, and we will reply with a text or phone call. You can also go online to graceemmanuel.com and click on the Contact Us tab. The aroma of worship was designed by God to happen in his local church. Being part of the church Jesus is building is critical. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 10:40 a.m. Our church campus is located at 707 Kitterman Road in North Port St. Lucie, just west of U.S. 1. For more information, please visit our website. Grace Emmanuel is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, fellowshipping church with ministry to children, youth, young adults, families, and our seniors, all making up a wonderful family of believers called by Jesus to follow close, to love well, to serve strong, and to reach far. We pray that you recognize the grace of God in your life. We pray that your life is an aroma of praise to God. Please visit with us soon.
This is Sam Chess from Grace Emmanuel Church. You've been listening to the Grace Alive radio broadcast. You can listen to our program Fridays and Saturdays at 2 p.m. and twice on Sunday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. right here on WCNO. Please join us and let us study together.
In Pastor Sam's book on spiritual warfare, What Scares Demons, Pastor Sam shows us that Jesus left heaven and came to this world as our Savior to forgive our sins. But Jesus also came to this world as a heavenly warrior to do fatal damage to Satan's kingdom of darkness. Jesus didn't just come to this earth to save us from sin. He came to save us from Satan. What you see and hear from demons when they come in contact with Jesus and scream out in fear in the Gospels should make you never fear them again in your life. The truth is, demons are scared to death of your God. They are scared to death of your Savior, and they are scared to death of you, a redeemed saint, and the presence of God that lives in you. They know something that they hope you will never find out. They know that all the power is on your side. You are a son or daughter of the Most High God, and they are scared to death of what you will do with your life when you figure that out. To get your copy of Spiritual Warfare, What Scares Demons, or any of Pastor Sam's other books, visit samchess.com for direct links to Amazon.
This is Jane Rule from Grace Emmanuel Church. I'm excited to tell you about our Awana program taking place every Wednesday from 6:35 to 8:15 p.m. Awana is a Bible-based discipleship program with a fun mix of games and scripture memorization, providing an enjoyable environment for children while they learn the Word of God. Our program is for children preschool through fifth grade. If you would like more information about Awana, please call our office at 772-489-9696.
I'm Mindy Molina, Investment Advisor Rep, Licensed Insurance Agent, and Fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to the Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hi, I'm Apostle Joyce Cranfield. Please join me every Saturday at 8:45 a.m. for the Rose of Sharon Radio Ministry to hear a message from the Word of God.